This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
This is the United States of Women. There are a lot of cool men out here. I love the president.
Let's give it up for the brothers.
There's a lot of cool men out here.
For the men out here.
I love the president's speech saying you're looking at a feminist. What can men do leaving here?
Be better. Be better at everything. Be better fathers. Good Lord, just being good fathers who love your daughters and are providing a solid example of what it means to be a good man in the world, showing them what it feels like to be loved. That is the greatest gift that the men in my life gave to me, and we've talked about this.
Yes.
The fact that I've never experienced abuse at the hands of any man in my life, and that's sad to say that that's a rare reality. So men can be better at that. Men can be better husbands, you know, which is be a part of your family's life. Do the dishes, you know. Don't babysit your children. You don't babysit your own children. You know, be engaged. You know, don't just think going to work and coming home makes you a man. Being a father, being engaged, all that stuff is important. Be a better employer. You know, when you are sitting at a seat of power at a table of any kind and you look around and you just see you, it's just you and a bunch of men around a table on a golf course making deals, and you allow that to happen, and you're okay with that, be better.
Be better.
Be better.
Be better.
Was she rambling?
I don't know. I heard it, and it annoys me on so many levels. It is not rare that there's women that grow up and don't have that have men in their life that are strong and treat them well. Mm-hmm. That is not a rarity. If it were, don't you think that there'd be far less women, strong women in the world? Getting beaten and held down doesn't make you stronger. Mm-hmm. If it did, you'd have prisoners of war coming out and they'd be the toughest men in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come out, no. She rambles on. Her thing at the end there where, you know, well, if you're looking around at a business deal and it's all men, you know, be better. Well, if that's their job and that's where they're going to make the deal, that what are you supposed to do, not do your job?
Right.
Hey, we don't have any women around here. I better, you know, I'm not doing my job. Nope. Forget this. I'm out, guys.
I think what we talked about in terms, you know, with our earlier guest, with Gordon Dalby, Pastor Dalby there, about authentic manhood, this is something that men feel a grave responsibility for. They do not take it lightly. And as you said earlier, Scott, I think there are a lot of men are doing a great job, and they are better. I think every day, you know, they strive to be better, better parents, better dads to their children. We hear about a lot of the bad things, but I don't think we hear enough of the good and the celebrated aspects of manhood in the midst of this cultural challenge that men face today, where they're constantly put down in TV shows and in movies and that sort of thing. We seem to be the favorite punchline for this feminist movement that
we're
continues to run rampant.
We're just big dumb olds. We can't do anything else.
Exactly.
We can't show love to our children. No way do we show love to our children.
Wow.
Are you kidding me? The person that's shown me the most love in my life is probably my dad and my grandfather.
Amen. I'm with you on it. Well, we've got more coming up. Stay with us, America.
Have you ever wondered why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? You know, I look at some people on this stuff, and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight, you know what I mean? Careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Side effects include bleeding from the gums after you brush your teeth, swelling or pain at an injection site, diarrhea, vomiting, or inability to eat for more than 24 hours, fever, severe bleeding, including heavier than normal menstrual bleeding, red or brown urine, black or bloody stool, severe headache or stomach pain, joint pain, discomfort, or swelling, especially after an injury, vomiting of blood or material that looks like coffee grounds, bruising that develops without an injury, you remember? Well, dizziness or weakness on top of that, and even death or skin tissue or necrosis. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA. Plus, find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey, it's time to maybe just pause for just a moment, okay? And be observant, be situationally aware of what's going on around you. We encourage you to do that. This is Bill Martinez Live at 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Craig Shirley is with us, president of Shirley and Bannister PR, political commentator, author of the best-selling works concerning U.S. history, such as December 1941, 31 Days That Changed America and Saved the World. Craig is an authority on Ronald Reagan, having lectured at the Reagan Library, a visiting Reagan scholar at Eureka College, a member of the Board of Governors of the Reagan Ranch. Craig Shirley, always good to have you with us. How
are
you doing, sir?
Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you for asking. I got to tell you, this election cycle that we're in, we hear a lot of people, you know, wanting to go back and embracing all the more Ronald Reagan, huh?
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean, Trump's kind of a mystery, isn't he?
Well, he is an anomaly. There's no doubt about it. We kind of... you know, the Republican Party has been asking for a long time, we need to broaden the tent. Well, he's definitely upended the tent pegs there, and it's making them feel uncomfortable. They're having a hard time getting their brain around him. But, you know, this is what happens when you have a person who is not politically savvy. Clearly, he is out of his element, but there's certain aspects about what he has to offer relevant to I guess the practical business side, and that's what's appealing to people. And even some of the guttural response, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, but the problem is he's not emphasizing it. If he was running a disciplined campaign and he was emphasizing Homeland Security and the economy, he'd be doing a lot better. But
exactly.
You know, he's talking about his university and flying off and, you know, flights of fancy and being defensive and talking about himself instead of the American people. You know, but you step back and you look at this, you say Hillary Clinton, oh my God, and then Bill, and Donald Trump said this has got to be one of the worst choices ever presented to the American people in the 200 plus year history of the republic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here it is. I mean, and he's part of that offering, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
So.
And, well, it explains why Gary Johnson, the libertarian, is all of a sudden, you know, at 9-12% of the polling.
Exactly.
I think that he's got his potential is all upwards right now.
Mm-hmm.
We might be witnessing a whole new dialectic in American politics.
Well, Craig, I've been saying for quite a while, and this goes back to John Naisbitt's prediction in his book Megatrends, 18 years ago, not quite 20
right,
years
sure.
ago, and he talked about the two-party system being like two dinosaurs mating here, and I keep looking. Okay, when is there going to be a rise of a third party? Number one, number two. Not that I have any real factual research or evidence to tell. This is just kind of a gut sense that somebody could get elected with about 35% of the vote this time around.
Yes, yeah, and I do think you know we have seen actually the rise of third parties, but they've been inside of. Political parties, the rise of a much more left-wing socialism inside the Democratic Party, as evidenced by Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton to a large extent. These are two of the most liberal, of course, Obama's been extremely liberal, but two of the most liberal Democrats that have ever been put forward by their political party. And then the rise of the Tea Party within the Republican Party. So mm-hmm. Naismith was right, is that new elements are taking over old systems.
Exactly. Well, and of course, the IRS, thank you very much, did a long way. And of course, that was brought to light, like we're all surprised and shocked. What they did.
By government corruption, what a surprise.
Exactly. But it is amazing the effect and how it's kind of, gotten lost in translation here, Craig, is that what the IRS did in hogtying the Tea Party, the movement that it had going, the kind of momentum that it had going, it then took them out of the conversation.
Yes.
It absolutely manipulated at least three election cycles anyway.
And you notice too, shock and surprise, that the entire establishment, the Republican and Democratic establishments, didn't lift a finger to help the Tea Party or speak out against the corruption of the IRS, because the Tea Party is a threat to the system.
Exactly.
And, so it behooved the Republicans to see the Tea Party go away and destroyed and investigated and lied about and, all the typical underhanded, dirty practices by the IRS.
And the very thing we need, Craig, is that we need that bottom-up movement, the grassroots movement.
Yes.
That Phyllis Schlafly has talked about and many others. Ronald Reagan,
Reagan
would have supported.
Reagan talked about it, and Reagan understood acutely.
Exactly.
That in the American system, the way the founders and the framers designed it was that power flowed upward from the citizenry to the elites and to the establishment and to the government, instead of the British system where power flowed downward from the institutions down to the populace.
And the thing is, empirically, when you go back and you study history, it doesn't take a genius to figure out real quick that when it operates that way, our founders understood this as they researched extensively about different forms of government. And, we've seen this happen when it moves from bottom up. It goes well with this country. It even goes much better with the elites, frankly.
Yes, it does. And we've had periods where it has worked, with a bottom-up type of system. I will say is that I see some type of evolving of Donald Trump's thinking sometimes every once in a while, and it is good that he is evolving toward a populist conservative. I noticed a couple weeks ago, kind of got lost in the whole mess, but he was saying is that the national minimum wage is ridiculous. What we ought to do is leave it to the states, let them set their own minimum wage.
Exactly.
And that's the correct, populist, that's the correct federalism position. That's the correct Reagan position to take, which is to let the states decide their own policy on minimum wage and many other things as well.
Mm. Well, what do you think about VP choices for Trump? I think this is absolutely critical. The last time we had a candidate, outside of the establishment in one, Ross Perot, he looked good, generated a lot of momentum. Of course, killed the Bush campaign, his
right.
Re-election. But
right.
Be that as it may, his choice of a VP candidate, I think, killed his campaign.
Bush did a good job of destroying himself by breaking his pledge on taxes.
Right.
He pledged not to raise taxes, and then he raised taxes. And then on top of it, he insulted the American people by making fun of the fact that he's made a pledge in the first place. So he did a fine job of destroying his own chances for re-election. I've seen polling data over the years that suggests that Ross Perot actually pulled more from Bill Clinton than from George Bush.
Really?
It was
wow.
Yes. But it was the party needed to be cleansed of corrupt elitism, and so it was probably good for the party. It was certainly good for a giggle for the Clintons to be elected, because I never remember laughing as hard as I did in those 8 years the Clintons were in the White House. Everything from White House interns to stepbrothers and half brothers being found in trailer parks in Arizona once a week.
It was reality TV, wasn't it?
It was. It was. It was, it was you know, the Beverly Hillbillies move into the White House, you know. Mr. and Mrs. Cornpone and Hayseed and Barefoot Billy, you know.
Okay, 10-second answer. His VP choice, who do you say?
Newt Gingrich.
I'm with you. Exactly. Craig Shirley, president of Shirley and Bannister PR. Craig, as always, great to have you along with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We're looking at 15 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay with us. We got more coming up.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10, 2, and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the Nuzena, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the Nuzena because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The Nuzena Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayItLook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayItLook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayItLook.com. ILikeTheWayItLook.com.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases, though we don't diagnose, treat, or cure cancer. Bill Martinez Live is offering Clemson University's study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 855-305-8326.
We the people. Listen to Bill Martinez live.
The voice of truth. Out of all the voices calling out to me.
Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Thank you for joining us on any one of the many outlets, a plethora of outlets, over 280 markets across this country of ours. Red State Talk Radio has just joined and had us join them. We appreciate them picking us up live every Monday through Friday from 9 to noon Eastern. And, of course, shortwave around the world. We're all over the place. So no excuse for you not to be informed as to what is happening in your world and having a source where you can have someone committed to the truth and pursuing it no matter where it leads. Eric Rush is with us right now, speaking of which, New York-born columnist, author, speaker who writes socio-political commentary. He's the host of his Full Contact show with Eric Rush Live, streaming radio show. And it was Eric, as you may recall, who broke the story on Barack Obama's ties to militant Chicago preacher Reverend Jeremiah Wright on a national level. Eric, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, we've got a lot to talk about here, but I want you to chime in real quick as to what's happening. Our government wants to spend a lot of time talking about gun control. We're already hearing that this could be another record month for gun sales as a result of what happened in Orlando. And also, I'm understanding that AR-15s are now flying off the shelves. Are you surprised?
I am not surprised. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, the more the better. The more in the hands of people, the more, you know, difficult it's going to be to get them out of their hands. You know, my take on this is the same as a lot of people, that the less firearms we have, the easier we are to control. And I think, you know, I think what's happening now sort of bears out when you look at the sorts of things that are occurring in places like, you know, France and Germany and Scandinavia, where they have much tougher gun laws, and the chaos that's ensued with the mass refugee migration and the kinds of civil discord and unrest that they're fomenting. People have no way to protect themselves. They're at the mercy of the government. Law enforcement can't go after these people because it's politically incorrect. Mm-hmm. And it's a nightmare, and that's what they want for us.
Well, and we have an admission from law enforcement saying they're ill-equipped.
Well, absolutely, they're ill-equipped, and they're working underneath, politicians. They're at the mercy of politicians who are saying, you can't go after these people because to do so, you'd have to admit that their motivation for what they're doing has to do with the doctrine of Islam, and that would be racist. We can't do that. So the citizens are literally at the mercy of these monsters, basically. Mm.
Well, we definitely have been wide open and vulnerable because of political correctness. We keep hearing that term, and I'm so sick of hearing it. But yeah, it is the reality of what we're dealing with, is that we can't call it for what it is. And the president wanted to be rather professorial the other day, which is his inclination. He feels like he's atop the mountain, sending down his edicts and telling his minions how they should behave, and how dare they question him just because he cannot seem to tie the two words radical and Islam in one sentence.
Yeah, my column for WorldNet Daily, it actually came out last night, my column for this week,
uh-huh,
and it addresses that, precisely, that he had this sort of a petulant fit over people criticizing the fact that he won't say radical Islam, and then he, in trying to explain why he doesn't do that, what he did was sort of evidence this policy of incoherent rhetoric.
Exactly.
That, he's explaining that calling it radical Islam is somehow going to validate or empower Islamists and people, like the ISIS terror group, and it made absolutely no logical sense whatsoever. bemoaning for months and months and months, and years even, the fact that, you know, precisely what it will do in terms of identifying the problem, and that the that his reluctance to use that is indicative of this, you know, this denial, this proclivity for propaganda, and his affinity for Islamists and his sympathy and his having empowered them throughout his presidency. Mm-hmm. And it's really like, I mean, it's almost like a bad science fiction movie when you try to process what he's saying juxtaposed against what's happening out there with these Islamists and how they're not being reacted to.
Well, Eric, who would have thought that we would be having a president who would be the most anti-Christian, who says he's a Christian, but he's the most anti-Christian, anti-Semitic president in the modern era. People, you know, question and say, well, I'm sure he's a Muslim. That doesn't mean too much to me whether he declares himself as a Muslim or not, but I don't think you need to argue too long to realize that he's very sympathetic to the Muslim cause, because he's the first one to defend them. And there's, you know, and give them space, and I say them, these radicals who have come in and have attacked us, and somehow he's trying to make it seem like it's not that bad.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I know it has to do to a certain extent with his personal viewpoint and empathy and solidarity, feelings of solidarity with them. But, you know, apart from that, if you look at what's occurring in America and then in the West in general, by extension, you know, it becomes clear that the leaders of the Western world, or at least a lot of them, have this underlying agenda of empowering these Islamists, denying the chaos, the damage that they're causing, the crimes. They all have a certain reluctance to call a spade, as it were, with regard to what's going on. And, you know, I know a lot of people can't really fathom why that might be. And I think that I've put a name to that in that I think that their goal overall, and this includes Obama, is to foment so much civil unrest and discord and fear and anger and everything that, it's going to wind up ultimately calling for such widespread draconian measures on their part just to keep the peace that we're going to be looking at sort of a police state, across the Western world that is ushered in for the purpose of course, protecting us.
Exactly.
You know, and which is, of course, not the objective, but that's how it'll be characterized.
Well, this is a pattern. This is rather Linsky-esque, you might argue. You're the one that starts the fire, and you get everybody all revved up, and you're the one that wants to come out and be the hero and be the savior of the day. And this seems to be the pattern that progressives and this administration seems to be very good at. But we're not watching, you know, the sleight of hand. We're so concentrated on the pea that's under the shell that we're missing all the other shells that are moving around here. And we're being victimized by this whole process and diluted.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k?
Hey, Eric, can you hear me okay?
If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hard to get you into my life.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with Eric Rush, New York-born columnist, author, speaker who writes socio-political commentary for WorldNet Daily, is with us. He's also author of the book Negrophilia, From Slave Block to Pedestal, America's Racial Obsession, which has been called the definitive book on race politics in America. Eric, you know, we started talking initially about how AR-15s are flying off the shelf. And I know some people, you know, they hear that and, you know, those that want to control guns. But it's not about guns. It's about the people. And if the bad guys are out there with AR-15s, I mean, how do we match up against them with that kind of firepower? So I am reluctant to say, to get on the bandwagon to say that AR-15s should be, you know, ruled illegal.
Once again, as you said, it isn't the firearms, it's the people using them. There are a lot of semi-automatic rifles. The term assault rifle is really kind of a misnomer, but there are a lot of semi-automatic rifles that are just as bad, and or not just as bad, but just as formidable, if you will, and worse, or more so formidable than AR-15s. AR-15s are popular because they're affordable. They've been produced in sufficient quantities that they're easy to get. They're sort of a slightly scaled down M16, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so they're, you know, there's nothing magic about an AR-15 other than you can do a lot of damage, or you can suppress someone who is trying to do a lot of damage. I mean, I would love to see a cop with an AR-15 going against somebody with a couple of handguns, because the couple of handguns wouldn't really stand a chance against that. But part of the problem is, again, and the Obama administration has working toward this paradigm is that quite often you have law enforcement being outgunned by people who have things like AR-15s, but there's really no magic. There's nothing magic about them. I mean, I've owned weapons, you know, you can purchase in the gun store that are far more formidable than an AR-15. They're just popular.
Right. Exactly. And right now, I mean, when you're talking about protecting yourself, you want to be in a situation where the odds are more in your favor. As you cite, there have been too many occasions in the past where our police have been underarmed. And, you know, I grew up in California, and I remember clearly what happened at the Hollywood bank robbery when the LAPD was greatly overwhelmed by these military-dressed, Kevlar-wearing, you know, terrorists, basically, you know, bank robbers.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I mean, I think that, you know, you're I don't see any problem with having your, you know, your average, you know, squad car with a cop patrolling around having, you know, having his AR-15 and his, you know, and his tactical shotgun in the trunk so that he can, he or she can sufficiently respond to something if he runs into a situation that is really, really ugly. Now, I mean, I would, you know, I mean, if you were a police officer and you ran into that club in Orlando with your semi-automatic pistol, I mean, you'd have been dead along with all of the patrons that this guy killed. Because,
well, you had that one guard. You had the one guard at the front door. He knew he was there. He took him out. He just had a sidearm on him. So a sidearm against an AR-15, AR-15 wins.
Yeah, and you know, the idea, and all of these gun-free zones like this club and the theater in Colorado and so forth, getting hit precisely because they're gun-free zones, to me is the best argument for arming as many people in this country as want to be armed.
Exactly.
Because that is the only scenario in which evildoers, if you will take a second thought and say, "Hey, I'm not going to walk in there with, you know, with my rifle, or because I could, you know,
I'm going to take fire back." I mean, he was looking at Disney World. He checked it out. He realized the firepower there and the protection of that facility. It was not going to be a cakewalk, but he could go to this gay nightclub, which he was familiar with, and have his way. You know, except for one guard with a gun. Are you kidding? With a pistol? I don't think so.
Yeah. I'm probably a little bit more I don't know if you'd want to call it radical or reactionary in my personal views towards the Second Amendment, because not only am I for concealed carry, but I think that I don't think that the government really has any right to say, "Oh, you know, you can conceal carry and you can't."
Right.
Because you have a conviction that had nothing to do with violence or guns, but we're going to arbitrarily, you know, I mean, they've been really sneaky about that, how they've done that sort of thing. And I'm really glad that you have a lot of states that have considered things like open carry.
Open carry.
Or letting people conceal carry without a permit.
Yeah,
they ought to let them do
exactly
that way. So that way, you know, the bad guys don't know what they're going to be up against when they go into some place, you know.
Yeah, God forbid we follow the Constitution, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, there is, you know, once again, the bad guys and the deranged people. You know, because some of these people who do these sorts of things are unhinged and don't have a political agenda. You know, even in the Soviet Union, which had, you know, some of the toughest, most oppressive laws anywhere, you know, in history, you still had, when criminals wanted to get guns, they got guns.
Exactly.
When you had, I mean, that's one of the reasons that the Russian mafia, which of course, you know, went into Western Europe when the Iron Curtain, when the wall came down and all that, and came into the United States. I mean, that's why they're so hardened and tough and formidable, because they had deal with, I mean, the government of the Soviet Union.
Exactly.
So, you know, it only makes the bad guys badder when you try to protect, when you try to do this sort of preemptive law enforcement. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, there's no way. And we already found out, look what happened. It took police, they were there. But in most cases, as we know, any interaction in a gunfight is going to be measured in seconds, not in minutes, much less hours, as the people that were trapped in that Pulse nightclub, surrounded by police for 3 hours, and this guy's just having their way with him. Unbelievable. We only got about a minute and a half left, Eric, but I wanted you to address the issue of Donald Trump holding corrupt elites accountable. He's got a big megaphone right now, and it's pointed toward one Hillary Clinton and all the scandals that are surrounding her right now. So how much traction is he going to get on this?
Well, I think that it's important that he discusses it, that he keeps it in the forefront. One of the things that I've been asking people lately, and which I stated in that piece you referenced, is that, you know, it would be all well and good that, say, Donald Trump, you know, wins the presidency and he comes in and he actually, you know, it isn't the cataclysm of biblical proportions, and he does start addressing the things that he says he will, but he really has to address the system, the culture of corruption. Otherwise, when he goes, it's just going to come back.
Right. Well, we saw it happen with Ronald Reagan, didn't we?
We absolutely did.
And it did come back rather quickly. There's no doubt about it. And I agree with your observation on this, Eric. It is systemic. And I think that's the challenge that he has, in much the same way that Arnold Schwarzenegger faced in California. Not a whole lot different when you think about it. I mean, here you got a businessman who looks at things in a very fair-minded, kind of common sense sort of way. But then you have the bureaucracy, which we know is counterintuitive to that point. Eric Rush on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Eric.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-437-5914. That's 1-800-437-5914.
Call today.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Here's Dr. Paul Meyer, Christian psychiatrist, author of 85 books, and founder of the national chain Meyer Clinics, to tell you about To Your Health liquid vitamins.
I've been taking these every day for over a decade now, and I try to encourage every one of my clients to take them every day. And there's a number of reasons. First of all, it's the best vitamins you can get. It's got dozens of vitamins, antioxidants, and nutrients in it. And then the most important reason why I do it as a psychiatrist and recommend it to my patients is because it's got brain food in it. It's got the essential amino acids. It's got tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, choline, vitamin B6, and these chemicals that are all natural from food turn into the brain chemicals that make you happy.
To Your Health is delicious. Find out more today. Call us 800-801-3459 or visit online at mytoyourhealth.com. Use the coupon code RADIO15 for a 15% discount on your order. That's mytoyourhealth.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Oh, well, he's very popular, yes. The Sportos, the Motorheads, Geeks, Bloods, Wastoids, Dweebies, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Something to talk about, but let's do it with substance and intelligence, huh? Why not? Pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. This is Bill Martinez Live. Thank you for joining us as we, come together shoulder to shoulder and back to back to get this country back on track when 7 out of 10 of us agree that we're on the wrong track. I say great observation. Okay, let's come to a conclusion here, a solution-based conclusion that will, based on truth, get this country back on track and, for us once again to be realizing, the God-given gift of what this country is all about, the land of the free and the home of the brave, as we sing. 13 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here with you. S.J. Knight is with us right now. She's a published author and former Australian Broadcasting Commission radio scriptwriter. I know you're not going to be able to tell that when you hear her talk because she has no accent whatsoever. She's written a wide range of material over many years, including Bible plays for young and old and 7 children's books as well. S.J. Knight, Susan, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for having me.
You see, no accent whatsoever. I told you, ladies and gentlemen, you thought I was just pulling your leg, didn't you?
Well, over here, they think, I open my mouth and they say, you're not from around here, are you?
but we are here, and so and welcome. You have written your latest book here, that is titled "A Time to Act" about the Apostle Paul, and it is a little bit of fiction meets nonfiction, so there's some liberties that are taken, but nothing too extravagant, huh?
No, as a matter of fact, I would suggest that there are absolutely no liberties taken with the biblical text.
Yes.
All I have done is fill in the gaps. So the imagination comes in, well, what the conversations were, who the people were that he spoke to, but all the things that are recorded, I haven't scrambled them. You often you might see a Bible movie and you think, hey, hang on, that didn't happen until 20 years later or
exactly.
Whatever. So none of that. It's all totally true to the record. But of course, it's an imaginative biography insofar as I'm writing about the time from when he was born to the time. Sorry, I got dust in my throat. To the time he was at the end of his first missionary journey. And obviously the Bible record's extremely succinct and only gives you the absolute bare bones.
Exactly. Well, in addressing this apostle who basically is the 13th apostle, right? When you think about it in terms of numbers, right?
Yes, you could say that, actually, yes.
Uh-huh. And you emphasize, as you say, the biblical characters that are normal people. And what you're talking about is, they happen to live in the past, but these are everyday people. Could have been you or me.
Yes, I've often felt that it's a funny thing how we look on people from the past as if they were sort of different from us, because of course they're not. And the other thing is, they didn't know a Bible was going to be written with them in it, necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I wonder sometimes when, if anyone looked at our lives, which bits would they choose to put in some new Bible? We might be a bit worried about which bits they'd choose to include and which to leave out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know the Apostle Paul was so overwhelmed when he, met God, when he had that moment of contact with God on that road to Damascus. And, it humbled him because up to that point, he was a Jew of Jews. He had it all figured out. Anything that was Jewish that he was supposed to do, he did. He had earned his position among the Jews as being, the Jew of Jews. And I imagine if he could hear what was being written and what is being said of him today, the sense of humility that would be so overwhelming, I think it might be hard for us to understand. But he understood his sense of humility coming as a result of being in the presence of a life-changing God.
Well, I think that's very true what you say there about his humility, because he described himself as the least of the apostles, and he, as somebody that was an overdue baby, as it were, born out of time, and in that sense he was. But he never forgot that once he had been a persecutor, and he never got at all above his station as far as saying, well, I had this special vision, and I've had these special commissions from Christ. Never, ever, ever. He was always so incredibly humble, and he never described himself in any other way but as a humble person.
Well, you wanted to fill in the gap, so to speak. You took the history that we were aware of regarding the Apostle Paul, and as you were fashioning your book and bringing the words together and filling in these gaps, I imagine you had this sense that you were on hallowed ground a bit, weren't you?
Well, I always do feel that, because biblical-based fiction is my thing, and I'm very, very careful. I don't play fast and loose with it at all. Mm-hmm. And yes, also there's got to be a very conscious sense of respect. This was an amazing man, despite his own humble opinion of himself, but he never forgot that he hadn't earned this. That was a good phrase you used there. He certainly hadn't earned it. And of course, that's common to all Christians, well, to all people. None of us can earn salvation. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. He did everything, and that didn't actually earn him salvation at all. It was still going to be a gift. So I'm very careful when I do this, but at the same time, because I've known and loved Paul, as it were, for many, many years, you do, I think, as soon as when you read a fiction book that's your passion, whether it's David Copperfield or whatever, you do tend to develop a bit of an identity with your favourite characters, and you do tend to sort of imagine them in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And there are things about Paul which I just sort of felt, oh, yeah, I get it. I think I can understand his obsessions, and I can understand this, and I mean, I might be completely wrong, but I just had this sort of particular vision of Paul, and I wanted to explore, how did he become this person? What was it? Nobody just appears out of nowhere like some vision in the night. Mm-hmm. We've all been born. We've all been babies. We all had mums and dads and had certain things happen to us, and we have done certain things which have shaped who we are. We're the result of a million things in our past. So I wanted to think, how could he have been like this? Because we know that he said, Jesus said to him on the road to Damascus, it's been very hard for you to kick against the goads. Mm. And I've interpreted that to mean he had these stings, these pricks and goads of his conscience, which were bothering him, but it could not make any sense to him given the paradigm that he had around himself. So I wanted to think to myself, how did that happen that he was so locked in? And how did he cope when all of a sudden his feet were kicked out from under him and everything he'd believed in just vanished in a puff of smoke, as it were. So what did that do to his brain? You know, what did it do to his heart and his soul and his thinking?
Well, you have the sense about Paul that he had an idea, and maybe vague, that there was a higher calling, that there was a purpose. And he pursued it with all his human might. And I think the result of that, as you stated, it tormented him. Because no matter how hard he tried, it just seemed like this elusive butterfly. It was at times maybe close, but yet so far away. And here it is, after all his pursuit of this higher ideal and thinking that, hey, look, if he goes out and torments this new way, you know, this new cult that is developing, that maybe that will earn his way to God and give him the freedom that he's looking for. But it's not until he's blinded that he begins to realize what true freedom is all about and who it comes from.
And isn't that just the most marvelous analogy? Because interestingly, Jesus himself said to the Pharisees, after he'd healed a blind man, and the Pharisees said, oh, you did that by Beelzebub, and gave him all sorts of garbage about it. And the Pharisees said to him, are we blind as well? And he said, well, if you were blind, you'd have an excuse. But because you say, oh, we see, therefore, yes, you are blind. They thought they had it all taped.
Exactly.
But, it's a lovely, lovely sort of little inverted parallel there.
Well, and it's one that draws caution and causes all of us to meditate on, to think about, what we're really seeing. Are we really seeing through the eyes, through spiritual eyes, or are we seeing, you know, through our own hearts that can be deceptive?
And that's a very, very good point, because, you know, the heart of man is desperately wicked, and who can know it, as I think Jeremiah says. But the thing is that Paul, honestly, in the days when he was Saul, he honestly believed that persecuting this new sect was exactly what God wanted him to do. And he really did believe it. He said later on, I persecuted the believers, but I was forgiven because I did it in ignorance. He really did believe that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a rather frightening thing about belief. There's nothing so powerful as belief. But it can be powerfully dangerous as well as powerfully good, depending on whether you've got your facts straight.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Paul, definitely a man of action, and you bring that out in this book. I'll tell you, if you love Paul, and Paul is someone that you can relate to, you're going to be blessed by this new book, Time to Act, S.J. Knight. Susan, thank you so much for being with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.